This is David Zaslav. Welcome to Voices and Views V2.0, broadcasting on KGPR-FM at 89.9 on your FM dial. Today, it's my great pleasure to be joined by Jamie Wyatt Marshall and Julie Freshley from No More Violence Week and Partnering for Prevention. Jamie Wyatt Marshall is the chair of No More Violence Week 2024 and president of Partnering for Prevention and a Great Falls mom. Julie Freshley is the secretary for Partnering for Prevention, a Great Falls mom and grandmom, and she worked at Great Falls College for 12 years and worked in the legal profession for 24 years before coming to the college. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here.
So, Jamie, let's start with you. Tell me, what is No More Violence Week and how did it get started?
Great question. This is our 10th year, which is remarkably really just truly remarkable to think about. And it started right here at Great Falls College, MSU. So we always want to make sure we come back to our roots. Honor Dr. Sherry McKeever, a professor here at the college, and her students who literally 10 years ago had a series of experiences and child fatalities that had impacted some of their classes. And they came together and said, we have to do something about this. We can't continue to just say, man, someone should. We're going to do something about it. And they began what became known as No More Violence Week. For a number of years, it was housed right here at the college. As more and more community groups became involved, it has grown and grown and grown over the years and is now a true grassroots collaborative community event spanning sometimes more than 1 week in April each year to honor violence prevention in all forms that impact children and families.
That's really wonderful. And I read about something called the Child Abuse and Neglect Conference on the website when I go there. So tell me, what is Montana's Child Abuse and Neglect Conference and how long has that been a thing?
So the CAN Conference is that acronym typically is what you'll hear, that Child Abuse and Neglect Conference. It's a statewide conference that the Department of Human Health and Services has put on. And truthfully, I don't know for how long, but a very long time. What we're super excited about this year is that conference has always been predominantly in Helena and Missoula. And a few years ago, due to much of the partnering work of No More Violence Week, we were in conversations with the state about being able to partner, particularly in this 10th anniversary year of No More Violence Week, and bring that CAN conference to Great Falls to be able to highlight much of the innovative work and models that our community really has made in the area of violence prevention, particularly around, again, children and families over the last number of years. So we're really thrilled to have that really unique, exciting partnership and to bring the state to Great Falls, April 8th through 12th, just a few weeks away.
Thank you for mentioning those dates. As someone who's attended No More Violence Week here in Great Falls in the past, I can definitely vouch for the meaningfulness and the impact of those sessions, and I encourage everyone to attend. And now it makes a lot more sense to me as to why you decided to partner. Seems like kind of a no-brainer to invite a statewide conference and to co-host, co-present. Is that the right way of saying it?
Yeah. Yep.
That's great. So are you partnering with anyone else in the local Great Falls area for this event other than those that you've brought in from the state Health and Human Services?
We are. What has made No More Violence Week, in my opinion, such a success over the years are the partnerships and collaborations. There are more than 25 organizations right here in the Great Falls region that meet monthly, that provide financial funding, but also more than anything, really that emotional support, the expertise, the knowledge, the advice in helping to plan this, helping to promote it, helping to bring their staff, their families, their partners to the table. I would be remiss. I would probably miss someone if I tried to list them all, but this is a true community movement with many, many groups in our community coming together and adding their part to it.
Very good. And so that means that when I say, for example, see a child over at Alliance for Youth or a woman taking advantage of the YWCA mm-hmm. services, I'm actually, in a way, taking part in No More Violence Week year-round. Is that a fair statement?
That is a very fair statement. Peace Place, Topi's House, the Paris Gibson Square Museum of Art, the library, our Cameron Family Center, Great Falls Public Schools. The list goes on and on and on of folks that have really partnered over the years to make this a reality, and their services do continue throughout the year to roll out what we attempt to share through educational resources and events during this 1 week of the year.
That's a powerful starter list of partners there. I'm sure that the others are listed also on the website.
Yes.
So if we wanted to know the complete list, we could go to the website, which is?
If you look at No More Violence Week 2024 and Google that, the best way to find this is to go to allianceforyouth.org. And there is a button right there on the home screen that says No More Violence Week 2024. If you click on that, it will take you to everything.
Okay. No need to type.
Nope. Just go to alliancefouryouth.org and you'll click the button.
So that's great. So how will this year's No More Violence Week activities differ from last year's? Are there any speakers or specific events you wish to highlight?
Yeah, I'll touch on a few. And then, Julie, I would love for you to jump in as well. We, again, are partnering with the CAN Conference. So those daytime events, one thing I will mention for those that have attended before, everything is still free this year. That's really important to us, that we make these educational events as accessible as possible for folks to come to. So we do not charge a fee. We do ask you to register for the CAN Conference, however, because that's helpful for them to manage space and make sure we have enough seats for you. When you register for the CAN Conference, just select that No More Violence Week registration option, and then it still remains free. So spread the word, have folks register for that. We do have Carla Ritz coming. She's based out of Minneapolis, but her work is with the Montana Institute, which is a fascinating connection. And she is doing cutting edge work on positive ACEs. For those that are aware of ACEs, those are adverse childhood experiences. They've been a prominent form of social science research here for a while, and she's taking a whole new spin on looking at positivity, positive ACEs, and how that impacts children and families. Fascinating work that's being shared all over the country, and we are bringing her right here to Great Falls in Montana to be able to share it here locally, which is really exciting. We also had high demand for Adam Dodge of NTAB. He's out of Portland, to return this year. He's all about ending cyber-enabled abuse, looks at emerging forms of issues that are impacting particularly our youth and families. And he'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday, April 9th and 10th, talking to parents, talking to providers, multiple sessions. He'll be doing work with our youth in the schools a little bit with some of our leaders. He is phenomenal. We've had more parents ask for him to come back than almost anything else. And we'll round out the week with a local Great Falls native who is now internationally recognized for her work in child abuse prevention. Dr. Kathy Wells will be coming. She's based out of Denver now, but her family's from Great Falls. She's a Great Falls High grad, and she'll be back to round out our week of events Thursday morning. Julie, you want to add to that?
There are some events that are going on at Paris Gibson Square, wellness events as well. So you can find information on that on the website and a place to register. There's some journaling activities and some dance activities. And we just want to embrace the wellness and the positivity of it all and to be able to move forward instead of backwards with violence.
That makes a lot of sense. That's really great. I remember attending the NTAB discussion last year, and my predecessor here on Voices and Views, Thomas Risberg, who also is aligned with the Alliance for Youth, he and I looked at each other and were like, we have to get some of these resources on a handout. And I believe we partnered with the Y, and we got a one-page QR code with a link so that people could go and reach some of those NTAB resources year-round. I'm not sure how many of those copies of paper are still around, but we definitely should get some of those reprinted for this year.
Most definitely. And there are a number of groups that took those NTAB resources. That's one of our greatest hopes with No More Violence Week, is that people take what they learn in this week and they use it year-round. And definitely that cyber-enabled abuse prevention was one of the number one things we've ever seen taken and run with. And he's bringing new stuff this year when he comes back. So even if you saw Adam last year, I would highly recommend coming again. Another piece of that is we will be doing a whole session on sextortion Thursday night, April 11th. We're coming back to our roots. We'll be, most of the week of events will be at Heritage Inn this year, just because our numbers will increase since we're partnering with this date. But Thursday night, April 11th, we're coming back to Great Falls College, MSU, and Heritage Hall, back to where it all began, and we'll be ending the educational events with Brian Cassidy. He's the state-level ICAC director. ICAC is Internet Crimes Against Children. He is just a phenomenal trainer on the topic of sextortion. When we start to plan each year, we always ask our partners what they're hearing people want to learn more about. And this topic of what is sextortion and how does it impact our kids and families was the number one ask. So that'll be a highly, highly informative evening. He's a very engaging speaker. Be really appropriate for parents and even for parents to bring their youth to be able to learn more about really this emerging form that of harm that's really impacting our children and families.
That's an excellent jumping off point. I wasn't thinking about these events being child friendly or child appropriate, but you're saying that at least one of them is, or many of them are?
Yeah, quite a few are. So that Thursday night event for sure would be good for adolescents. We're saying 12 and up, I mean, use your judgment as a parent to have that conversation. If your child has a device, it's a session that would be wise to learn more about. If they're on social media in any form, really good topic to be able to come learn more about. Julie mentioned we partner with the arts as well. That was something we started about 4 years ago that has just been marvelous to recognize the role that the arts do have in prevention of violence and in healing. Secondary trauma. There's so many different ways that different forms of art can support us as humans and as families. So Paris Gibson Square Museum of Art has just been a phenomenal partner, as well as our Great Falls Public Library. We, as Julie mentioned, there's a series of events at the square. Perhaps the biggest one that's super family friendly and will be really neat is Friday night, April 12th from 5:30 to 7. Come join us any age at the square. Over the last 2 years, we've been working with children and families to create quilt squares for what's called Threads of Connection. We have more than 700 quilt squares that members of our community have made. And lots of volunteers, including the Quilters Guild, have made just quilt after quilt after quilt with these squares. And there will be a huge display, literally waves of quilts, at the square for the whole week. Friday night, we'll have a reception. Open to the public, food, music. Come see the quilts. Come honor what this community has done in the truly taking a stand against violence.
But Jamie, I don't know how to quilt. What do you have to say to me?
I know. Well, neither do I. Julie, do you want to explain how we made this happen with the little of the littles even participating?
Yes, we cut quilt squares out of sometimes old sheets, sometimes donated fabric, and then we just use drawing materials mainly. Some people would do some like embroidery, but for the most part, the pictures were drawn on. And we did have some prompts that we asked, especially children, to use: happiness, safety, a couple of others. But then they would take the time and draw whatever came to mind. And we had little kids from probably 18 months and then up into people in their 80s and 90s even making the quilt squares. So it really is a community effort. And I went into my some of my grandkids' classrooms and had them do quilt squares. So those will be there as well. And the kids really like being able to come and try to find the square that they made. I think that that's an important thing. And it'll be quite a task because we'll have pretty much the whole hallway at Paris Gibson Square filled with this long row of quilt squares that people have made. So
it's
going to be really powerful and incredible.
That's really, really awesome. And I assume that there are photos of past years' hallways and quilt squares on display on the web?
Well, we haven't done that yet. We've been in the process for 2 years of making the quilt squares, and the Quilters Guild put a lot of them together last year, and then this year there's at Paris Gibson Square, there's a group called Textile Tuesdays, and they have been helping sew together squares. I sewed together squares yesterday, got out my sewing machine. I hadn't sewed for a long time, but it really is a community effort. So
that's so awesome. We're having a discussion about Textile Tuesday on KGPR's Talk Tuesday, which is when we always air our Voices and Views interview.
Well, that's perfect. I will say as well, if you go to our Facebook page, Great Falls_No More, No More Violence, Great Falls_No More Violence, you'll see pictures from the quilt squares over the last few years, and they are powerful. Julie alluded to, we've had school groups from Great Falls Public School participating. A number of schools have done them. We've also partnered with our Juvenile Detention Center, our JDC. Many of those youth have participated the last few years, and seeing the voices through art of our children and youth in this community on what violence prevention means to them is powerful. So come to the square.
Yeah, we had done some groups with the women at the Cameron Center as well. And we tried to hit everybody.
And the YWCA.
Yeah, the YWCA. Mm-hmm.
Toby's House. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've partnered with a lot.
So that's really wonderful.
Powerful.
That's really wonderful. Now, did you both get involved in No More Violence Week for personal reasons or as administrators that were hired? What have you gotten out of it personally so far, as in making quilts or your own personal stories? Are you involved?
The speakers over the year have been amazing. I have a history of violence from the early 80s, and just the effects that that had on me, myself, and my children, and the histories that unfolded for them because of it. It's something that needs to be addressed and talked about, especially. I know when I was going through it back in the early 80s, we didn't talk about it much. So, you know, I kept it from my family. You know, I kept it from my friends. There was a lot of shame at that point. This was before there was laws against domestic violence, and it would have been dangerous for me to call the police to help me. So it's come a long way, is what I'm saying. And mostly it's about community involvement and being aware and helping other people, listening. Don't judge, just listen, and steer people to resources that are available to them.
You've answered a question I was just about to ask, which is, what do we do if we find ourselves at No More Violence Week, but we don't have any personal experience on either end of violence in that way? And it sounds like you're saying just being present and listening can have a great impact.
Yes, yes. And steering people towards resources, I think, is important. They're definitely out there. But oftentimes, you just become, you kind of become isolated if you're in a violent situation. And, you know, there's clues that you can pick up on if you have family or friends that you think might be in that situation. Ask questions. You know, it's okay to talk about this. So.
And Jamie, do you have any personal anecdotes you'd like to share?
I became involved with this in about 2016, 2017, more from a professional lens at first. I will say all of us are volunteers. There is no paid staff for No More Violence Week. This has truly been a community movement. My professional background is in public health and social work, and a lot of work in violence prevention over the years, and certainly some personal ties led me to that field of work. And when my husband and I landed in Great Falls and started raising our family here, it was right about the time that we did have a series of child fatalities in that early 2010 timeframe. Professionally, I chose to stay home at that point in time to not return to work when we started our family. And this was a way that I could stay connected to work that I'm very passionate about, that I feel very, very strongly. There is something all of us can do to truly prevent the trauma and the violence that is unfortunately pervasive in our society for a variety of reasons. And as Julie alluded to, it is through choosing to do something positive, whether it is building rapport with your neighbor, whether we agree or not on certain things, demonstrating true human connection in a positive way, being aware of how to support children, whether it's volunteering in schools, giving your time to a Toby's House or a Peace Place, donating food to food pantries, volunteering down at the Cameron Family Center, connecting with the Y. There are a lot of wonderful things going on in our community to support people at any stage of where they might be in some healing. And it can be a very personally healing experience as well to be able to give back.
Or opening a checkbook, I assume.
That always, too, yeah. Certainly. Yep, there's always that element as well.
So if you want to assume for the moment that there are members of our city's leadership community, elected officials, and those who influence public policy, listening to our show today, what advice would you have to them for keeping sort of a full court press on this issue year round, as opposed to just during the 1 week when this conference comes to town?
I do want to say thank you. We have had tremendous support from our local community leaders in the Great Falls region, from city commissioners to mayors, both past and present, local legislators who also serve, obviously, at our state level, who have attended over the years. And we've always been very grateful for their willingness to engage in this conversation. It is a topic that it's difficult to measure prevention. That's an age-old issue when we look at a public health lens as well, because if you prevent something, it didn't happen. So it's more challenging to measure what that looks like. So being able to keep that open mind, and in my opinion, it's easier to prevent something, though, than it is to try and pick up the pieces and help something recreate and move forward, and especially when we're talking about a human life. The trauma that comes through, whether it's child abuse, whether it's domestic violence, whether we're looking at trafficking, so much of the cyber-enabled abuse that we see these days with cyber stalking, the bullying, so much of that, the healing that is required, there is a financial impact that's pretty tremendous, but also just that emotional and frankly that future look at how that impacts future generations. being willing to continue to engage in hard conversations and being willing to take a risk on some prevention approaches through both funding but also innovative thinking. I'm grateful for many leaders that have supported that and look forward to continuing to see that support as well.
All right, but you mentioned our legislators, so mm-hmm. you opened this door. Julie, you mentioned that there were no laws on the books when there could have been and should have been at the time of your incident. And I'm kind of wondering, are there legislation or is there legislation that could or should be forwarded at our state level that would help in prevention? Or are there laws or systems that are in play right now that need to go away in order to help with prevention at the state level?
Do you want to jump, Julie, or you want me to go first?
Go for it.
All right. That's a multifaceted question, of course. And the easy answer is yes, there's always something to be done. Last session, there were a lot of bills that came forward on many, many topics. So legislatively, there definitely were bills related to these topics. I couldn't speak to all of them individually, but I am grateful for our advocacy groups. I'm grateful for our law enforcement team. We have a number of law enforcement individuals that are really engaged in this work as well as judicial partners, and continuing to have those conversations, even when maybe we don't all agree right away, is really helpful. That's some of the work I've appreciated, I think, perhaps most in Great Falls, is seeing individuals come together. I've had the opportunity over the last few years to help engage in what's called our Drug Endangered Children Initiative. It's a national group that came and did some work here in 2021, and we now have locally trained folks across the state, most of whom started right here in Great Falls, addressing the connection between addiction, drugs, and a lot of what we see in harm in a home related to child abuse, neglect, and even intimate partner violence. And it's been powerful to have those child protective service workers, to have law enforcement, to have probation, parole, all be at the table having those conversations and then being able to share their stories and their experiences back with legislators and with civic leaders. It takes all of us sharing our part of the story to make sure that that legislation, or to strive to ensure that the legislation is the best that it can be, to make sure that policy is in place that really makes a difference in a positive, impactful way.
Sounds like you're saying it's hard to connect dots when not all of the dots are sitting at the table.
It really is. And that's a lot of why No More Violence Week started. I think the students were striving to understand, how does this all work? Like, when this occurs, how did we get here? And I think this community as a whole has been tremendous in recognizing that it takes all the different stories to be at the table as much as possible, to have that listening ear, to have an innovative, creative approach too. Sometimes doing things the way we've always done them, it doesn't work. If it's not working, to have the courage to try and do something a little different. These are also entrenched, again, topics that are not necessarily new, but perhaps the way they're presenting look new in the 21st century. So also looking historically, educationally, at some things that might have worked in the past, and how do we apply them in perhaps new ways moving forward.
So as a radio host, I hope you will appreciate my approach to the world is pretty much asking questions. And especially in an election year, Julie, would you say that it would be a valid question then to ask someone running for office to represent us in the state legislature or at the state level or even at the city level, to ask them if they had attended No More Violence Week and what they got out of it?
Definitely. And if they're supportive of the programs that support people that are experiencing violence, and especially children, it's just important that they're supportive of those programs and willing to sponsor bills, move bills forward. It's very important work because it affects us all. You know, eventually society will pay for it one way or the other. Financially. So I think it's the prevention. It just makes sense to try to prevent these things if we can, rather than pay for it down the road through mental health issues or criminal issues.
And since you've become secretary of the organization, have you noticed progress?
Oh, yes. Great Falls has really embraced not only No More Violence Week, but the issues that go along that we're talking about today. We have Toby's House now. We have Alliance for Youth. And maybe the seeds of those places resulted as a result of No More Violence Week. I know Great Falls Public Schools got together and did a lot because of their attendance at No More Violence Week. So I think the collaboration is invaluable. It's really been amazing.
That's wonderful to hear. And it leads me right to my next question, which is, how do you increase the presence of this material in the school curriculum. We now have a new superintendent, and I assume that you're in communication discussion with Ms. Hoyer, and I assume that there's a plan for making sure that this stays front and center in our classrooms.
Heather is definitely been a part of this. She has connected us to partners over the years. We have a newer domestic violence task force in our community that she actually has helped to connect to No More Violence Week this year. And we're always cautious. The curriculum of the school district is run by them, and we are not the school district, but they have been at the table with us in the planning of this for many, many years and continue to be. They have a mental health coordinator for the district, and they have quite a few peer mentoring groups now that they are running that really speak heavily to the topic of suicide prevention, which is another big component of No More Violence Week, as well as mental health and addiction components. And those youth have been involved with No More Violence Week for a number of years, doing some of the activity-based work that we do during that week. And they are doing that again this year. And we also are partnering on some training for those youth as well. I think we can never learn too much. So however we as adults can take advantage of educational opportunities like this, be able to do some introspection and look at how we ourselves can maybe do a little tweaking in our thinking or learn some new skills or resources or ways to look at things, and then be able to gently model that and then teach it as best we can to that next generation. That to me is probably the greatest way that we have sought to spread the word forward with No More Violence Week, again, is to bring those resources, that education, have folks take that, internalize that, and then pay it forward in their own fields and professions and their own families with those children and families that they have the opportunity to engage with.
That suggests to me that parents who homeschool their children should also consider this a call to action, to attend, to learn, and bring those materials back to their homeschooling environments as well.
I'm a firm believer that it's for all of us. I really am. Another group that we partner with closely is the Prevent Child Abuse and Neglect Task Force. And the acronym is PCAN, is how you'll probably hear it referred to. That falls under the Healthy Lives, Vibrant Futures initiative that United Way of Cascade County runs. And that PCAN group is another collective of many organizations in town that are committed to this work, most of whom are providers that have come together since about 2017. And they launch every April what's called the Yours, Mine, Ours campaign, which really is to spread that message of it takes all of us collectively to support children. And you'll see the pinwheels, the blue pinwheels that you often see in April, will be planted again all over town this year, places of business, at the square, hopefully down at the Heritage as well, since we'll be down there for the conference. That pinwheel is a symbol that every child deserves a safe and happy childhood. Sometimes I think that sounds a little Pollyanna-esque in some ways, but at its core, that really is a phenomenal statement to make and to really take action. And that Yours, Mine, Ours campaign grew out of the idea, the belief that it really does take all of us learning, growing, whether our children are at home, whether we're grandparents, whether we never had children in our own home. We all collectively as a community have that opportunity to positively impact children and families.
I actually witnessed my wife actually planting pinwheels at the square in recent years, as well as pouring red sand in the cracks of our gravel driveway around the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons effort.
Yep. And we've partnered on that for a number of years. Usually we have a partnership with our Whittier sixth grade students who come to Great Falls Public Library with us as part of No More Violence Week. And they plant the pinwheels and they pour the sand there around the library. It's been a great partnership. I believe this will be our third or fourth year that we're planning to do that again as part of that.
And does that cover your connection to the tribes as well and the reservations?
We certainly, that's one of many. We also partner with Indian Family Health Clinic as much as possible, reaching out to those different partners. We've partnered with our Indian Education Department within Great Falls Public Schools, Alliance for Youth, and the work that they do in some of their work on the High Line. We've been able to partner with professionals that do work with our Native youth. There's so many different ways. I am certain I'm missing people, because that is probably one of the greatest takeaways I've had in being involved in this over the years, are the relationships that I've been able to build and the power of one person choosing to snowball to who they know. And suddenly that snowball becomes really, really large. and the connections that I certainly could not have made as just one human become pretty significant.
Well, that rings true to me because I think I'm connected to you now in like three different ways through three different
groups, right? Yes, that's right. It's the beauty of human connection.
That's right. The more I go out now, the more I see people that I feel like I have some connection to. And I've only lived in Great Falls for 5.5 mm-hmm. years. And yourself, you've been a Great Falls resident for...
We just reached 14 years.
So three times the networking effect.
When people ask me, though, how did you make Great Falls home? My immediate answer is I had the chance to be involved. And that is how Great Falls has become home for me.
Right. And Julie, your time in Great Falls has been measured in decades, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm Montana born and raised, so not too far from Great Falls is where I'm from. And I've lived in Great Falls, oh gosh, probably 40 years now. So a good long time.
Since the smelter days, it almost sounds like.
Yes, I remember the stack.
So how do we tie this all together in terms of public policy? I know that there's right now an effort to remove lead from the water pipes in the city. And I have to think that there's a health connection, right, as well as simply a behavior connection or a mental connection, because, you know, health is very systemic. Have you seen anything on the health policy front that gives you hope or encouragement that we're going to make progress, or we are making progress in cleaning our environment to try to help clean our minds and try to help make us less likely to commit violence against one another?
Yeah, another training that I'll mention, there's a lot of them, so I haven't even gotten to all of them, but we're excited to also be partnering with our Downtown Safety Alliance in Great Falls this year, and they are hosting a session Wednesday over the lunch hour, so April 10th, and that will be hosted at NeighborWorks, looking at actually environmental design and how that connects to safety and crime prevention. So you bring up an interesting question that I think is fascinating. This is also interconnected. Again, when we think of the human body, it's a really remarkable scientific something. And when you look at the comprehensive definition of what health can be, there's obviously physical, emotional, spiritual, all of the different components that go into making a whole person. And from a policy lens, certainly looking at that social, the emotional, the behavioral components of what we need is really pretty comprehensive. And there's a whole lot more that could be done. I do believe that this week, as well as a whole lot of other things that people are working on and conversations that are being had at local and state levels, do recognize that this has to be part of the conversation as we continue to look forward at safety, at violence prevention, at how we're partnering, at how we're administering and looking at the future.
So you mentioned lunch, and my ears perked up immediately because I do like lunch.
Yes.
How many lunches should we expect to bring or be able to purchase or eat as a part of No More Violence Week?
You bet. Great question. That Tuesday opening session of the CAN conference, if you've registered, there is a luncheon provided there, but we do have to register for that one. Most of the other sessions are actually morning, afternoon. We're giving lunch breaks for the most part. That partnership with the Downtown Safety Alliance, again, that one will be held at NeighborWorks, and that one is, I think, pretty much a brown bag one. So come and learn together. We do love feeding people. It gets expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So from a fundraising lens,
yeah.
we will have snacks. There will be waters. That Friday evening session at the square will have a beautiful array for part of that celebration, though, as well.
Count up all of the sessions, morning, afternoon, mm-hmm. lunch with brown bag, lunch with food provided, closing receptions, how many events could I actually get involved with during this week total?
Julie, why don't you count for a second? Well, I mentioned two more we haven't even mentioned yet, both of which would also be fabulous, one of which would be great for parents, one would be fabulous for children. Wednesday evening, we are doing a partnership with the symphony, with their Chinook Winds and with the quartet and the quintet, and then with Alyssa Regal, who used to be a part of the symphony and now is doing education out on her own and some visual thinking strategies. So Wednesday evening over at the Heritage Inn, it's open to the public. It will be super kid friendly too. They'll be doing a whole piece that involves some journaling, some writing, some thinking, some music. There'll be a reception from 5:30 to 6 that will have food provided. And then from about 6 to 7, Alyssa will be leading this visual thinking strategy that really helps us look at healing and will help us look at different experiences in our life that may have been challenging, perhaps even involved some form of violence, and some healing approaches that can be done. So that's another great one to comment on.
And that sounds like an event that the public can drop in on, even if they haven't registered.
You don't have to register for that one. Just come. So the evening events, Tuesday and Wednesday at the Heritage, you can just come to. Thursday evening here at Great Falls College MSU, just come. No need to register. The daytime stuff, just save yourself a seat. But that evening stuff, you can just drop in.
Same as Friday as well.
Yes.
That's open to the public. Just bring come. Your kids.
Yeah. I'm going to put a plug in here now for another one of KGPR's valuable services, which is the Electron. We started an events database with a kid-friendly category, with an education category, a public service category. And I would hope that when you upload all 10, 12 of these events, whatever it is.
I think there's more than 10.
I think we're going to surpass 20. I have it on my events. To-do list for the Electron, David. I will get that checked off this weekend and get those all in there.
Thank you very much. Just be sure to specify which ones are kid-friendly because you can filter by kid-friendly events as well as food and wine. There's a food and wine category, so make sure if there's a lunch provided that you check that box as well because people are looking for that.
That is fantastic. Thank you for that service you're providing to our community. Again, any way we can connect as humans is actually a true prevention measure, and that's a great way to help us know what's going on. So thank you.
Well, I think of it more as the public radio providing the service and me just being an arm of that effort. We all here work to try to strive to bring awareness and connection through the airwaves to the Great Falls community and anyone that can pick up our signal. So I guess that brings me to my final question, which is, what would you like the community to bring with them in terms of mindset, right, as they attend No More Violence Week events?
Being open-minded. I think that's very important. We all have preconceived notions of why situations are the way they are. And I believe No More Violence Week has really challenged a lot of those beliefs for people if they'll come and listen to the training. We do provide, we have provided in the past training for police and law enforcement and the legal community and the medical community, foster parents. We try to, you know, help educate everybody who has that direct connection, as well as just the public and moms and grandmas like me.
Jamie?
I have thought about this for a long time. For the last number of years, as I have had the opportunity to be a part of this event, there have been minutes where, frankly, I've given myself pause and thought, is this making any difference at all? Like, is this worth it? And the answer for me has been a resounding yes. When I hear back from a child or from a parent or from a provider at various points through the year, and this has nothing to do with me, it has been this collective movement of this community where they'll say, I used this and it made a difference, or someone needed help and I realized I knew what I could do, or I just needed somewhere to go and this gave me a place to be. I would invite anyone in our community who perhaps doesn't know anything at all about violence or doesn't even want to think about the word violence, and frankly, I don't blame them for that. But in order for us to make a change and to continue to prevent some of those things that are most difficult, that can be the most traumatic, it does require us taking action to do something a little differently. And frankly, I believe it does impact all of us in some way. So in order to be willing to come in any way, even if it's to come to the celebration and participate in the quilts and to just see and almost sort of emotionally hear what others are saying about how this movement of taking a stand against violence does make a difference, I would invite anyone to be a part, to come with that, as Julie said, kind of that open mind. Just be open to learning, like, what could I do? I often hear that question, someone saying, I don't think I can do anything at all. And I would challenge that. I would say there is. I might not know what it is for you. That's something you'll be able to figure out for yourself. But as we are willing to come and engage and learn a little more, recognize resources and opportunities in our community, I really do believe we will continue to see progress.
Jamie Wyatt Marshall, Julie Freshley. It's been an honor and a privilege and a revelation to be able to chat with you for this hour. And I want to really thank you for coming into the studio and talking to us about No More Violence Week this year. And I really want to encourage every one of my listeners to attend with an open mind, think creatively about what you can do, how you can promulgate and direct folks to resources, and ask questions of legislators, candidates, leaders, and family members, perhaps even, to try to think about how the world could be different, right, armed with these resources. And with that, I will thank you very much again for coming and close this session of Voices and Views 2.0. Thank you very much again.
Thank you, David. You.